It is my privilege to be back and to share Christmas time with you and our wonderful Savior, as we've already had singing to him. Today we're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to be talking about a new administration, as it were. We three kings of Orient are. That's why we changed a little bit of the last that we've done. So, okay, very good. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your Son. And we ask, dear Lord, that you would teach us by thy Spirit and to love him, worship, and adore him. In Christ's name, amen. The title of my message this morning from Matthew 2, 1 to 12, and we'll be going through it, as it were, is Let Earth Receive Her King. Now, somehow you'll notice that is Joy to the World, Let Earth Receive Her King. And there is a king coming. Next year, not even next year, in January, a weird and very awesome thing will happen, maybe. In the United States, we will be trying to hear out people who might be our next president of the United States of America. And we'll have paraded before us folk of every ilk to say, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Is it our President Biden? Is it our former President Trump? Who is it going to be? And I am not taking sides today, though I have my own thoughts about it, and you have your own thoughts about it. One way or another, unless something dramatic happens, we will have decided the end of this coming year who is the next president-in-chief, as it were. But today I'm not talking about those guys. What I'm talking about today is let earth receive her king, because God has already decided, there's no election, the next powerful leader in the history of this world. And we don't know when it's going to happen, and it's not necessarily going to happen. It may happen before the next election of U.S. All right with me, that Jesus Christ would become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as it tells us in Revelation. That he has a name written on his thigh as he comes out on the right horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So thank you, Lord, and let earth receive her king. I've got some paperwork up here. I've got to make your pulpit bigger somehow. I've got to get a bigger selection here, but we'll do that next week. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Matthew presents Jesus not as the Savior to come like Luke does, as he will save his people from their sins, though he will do that. He sees him as a king. He's the only one of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that emphasizes the royal nature of Christ and who he's yet to be. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that wonderful opportunity someday to rule with him, to be part of his administration. I'm looking forward to it. Are you not? Hallelujah. We've got a Savior, and he is going to be king. God has already said, I have chosen him. Oh, excuse me, Lord. Yes, Psalm 2. I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. God's already got it done. There's no ballots. There's no election sites. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, powerful Jesus, my Savior, but my King, the leader of everything, I submit to you gladly and with great joy. God has put his King, Psalm chapter 2, it's over. Thank you, Lord. In Revelation 11:15, he says, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. There is no more need of a new election process. It's not 4 years. It's forever. Isn't it great to know that a Savior of his power, his ethic, his love, his great care, that he saved us by his own death on Calvary, he will be the King forever on this earth and on all of God's creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just 3 points today as we look at this. Wise men seek him. Yes, they do. And also, we want to look at wise men worship and submit. And then finally, we're going to be looking at, get my notes all settled here, wise men serve him. Those are, and we'll reiterate as we go back through. Lord Jesus. Wise men seek him. And that's what we find in this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. Powerful people have come into town. Never before ever had this happened, per se, not in the same way. That somebody would come in with a great display of authority and power, looking for the next king of the entire world, who would be Jesus. And they came looking for him. And they came into town. Some people think there were these three guys on camels, you know, that just came in, and it's like, okay, well, you know, they got kind of lost in the city. All the crowds. But these were magi, called in our versions wise men from the east. And they had a single purpose, not to take over the world, not to do anything like that. These people are part of the Medes. You'll read all about them in Daniel's whole book if you go back to Daniel. You'll notice that they're called the magi, the wise men. When our dear friend Daniel was over in their land, the land of the Medes and the Persians, he had been taken there not by his own will, but by force and made to serve there, and he served well. But Daniel became so powerful and so awesome that the kings of Persia, the king Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, and then when the Persians came, they kept him in power. He was the chief of the Magi. In other words, brilliant. Could have made his way through RPI in a flash. They were in the sciences and mathematics, in the learning of the whole day. They were the top genius level people. And Daniel, this Jewish boy who had been taken around the age of 16, 17, he became the chief of the Magi. And all the leaders, both in Babylon, and then when the Persians took over, they kept them there. They knew that they were in the presence of greatness. And he was the one who told the Magi about the coming Savior. If you go back to Daniel 9, the time period of all of this happening, Daniel crafted out. You go back to Daniel 9, the 70 years of all of the prophecy that he has. We aren't going to be able to go there today. But we know that the Magi had a single purpose. They had been told by Daniel in all their works and their books that in time would come the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the one who is the King of the Jews, and they now had seen in the skies his star, a special star, not a star that... You know, I have this little gadget that one of my friends has it. You can actually hold it up to the heavens at night. It's a big screen, and it will tell you what you're looking at. If it's one of those constellations that nobody really knows, it'll come back and say, oh, you're looking at, you know, Pleiades or one of the other ones. Didn't have that. But they saw the Shekinah glory of God in the sky, and these astronomers, they were perfect astronomers. They were some of the top people in the world. They said, that is something new. That's a new thing because God's Shekinah glory came out of heaven and said, I'm sending my son He will be the king of the universe, but I'm sending him, and his star is now going to be in the sky, the Shekinah glory of God. And these guys were not bumbling idiots. They looked up and said, it's here, the time is here, the time that Daniel told us about, the chief of the Magi. It's time to go seek him. And they knew that he would be born king of the Jews because Daniel was a Jew and he already told them all of this. And they're going to the top city of the world, of the Jewish world. They're going to Jerusalem. And they're going to search for him. They know he's here. Wouldn't it be wonderful if America knew Jesus was here? We got to get the message out more and more and more and more. He is here. He is our King. He is our Savior. He is powerful. And sometimes we ignore him as a culture so much. Not here. These guys are ready. They are seeking him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it says that we need to diligently seek him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They came 1,000 miles. It is scholars who read this, and I can understand, believe that there could be up to 300 men with them. These were not just a couple guys that got together down at the corner store and decided they were going to take a little trip. They are part of the elite team of the leaders of these nations, of the Persians. And they didn't go anywhere without armed guards. They went, they had entourage with them. And that's why I believe Herod was like trembling, saying, why are these guys coming? Because you don't come into a town like that with the type of forces and the type of wealth that they had and the type of military people that were with them, not doing anything, but just were the guard. Wow. Savior, Savior. What a group that's looking for you. Lord, let me be like them. A single purpose, to seek Jesus Christ. Finding people at the City Mission doing that now more than ever before. Thank God. We have chapel every night. And we preach the gospel every night, have for 74 years, have not missed a night. And I haven't been here only but for 42 of those years. And we preach the gospel. And right now, people are coming to Christ in large numbers. We sit down, we fill out cards with them. I have two or three chaplains that all they do all the time is disciple them. I don't want to bring in the kids into the world and then nobody's taking care of them. I'm going to tell you, I'm thrilled. They're seeking Jesus. Some people say, well, the homeless do it. I said, many of them at our City Mission are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're making decisions. And they're coming on the staff. And they're making it. And they're going. There's some things. So it's an exciting world. I just heard about a mission. I won't mention it because it's down in New York. That really has kind of given up on preaching the gospel. The second oldest rescue mission in America. And I'm thinking, stop, stop, stop. Don't go that direction. He's coming. Our coming King, our coming Savior. Tell people about him. Don't give up. Needless to say, these were led by his star, and they're in town. You have to excuse me, my paper trail here. It's just that usually I have one more place to spread it out, but we're fine. We're going to make this. But I want to point out something else. Jesus is a Jew. Daniel, who told them all about, you go in the book of Daniel, said, Daniel, you knew everything. You knew when he was coming. You knew all the dates. You knew the 70 years of Daniel. You knew everything. You knew when he was coming. You could have mapped it out. You knew all of that. Nobody seems to know that, but the Jews knew it. And these Gentiles, they were Gentiles, Medes and Persians. They weren't Jewish. But they really love the Jews because they love Daniel. Isn't it great when you go out somewhere and you have a profound impact on somebody and say, yeah, he's a Christian. I don't really know a lot about him, but I like that person because they're so good and they're so knowledgeable and they're so kind and they lead with Christ. But we'll do a lot more in this culture to bring people to faith. Well, I say, well, who were the first ones that looked for him? Well, the shepherds came in because the angels came to them and said, you're only 2 miles from the Savior. And they went. But these are Gentiles. They're not Jews. They're Gentile Persians. And they're seeking Jesus. He said he would come for the nations, not just for Jews. He comes for red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus came for me, but he came for the Gentile world, and it was a Gentile world that went to welcome him. You can't get any better than that. Lord, thank you. What a Savior. Isaiah 49:6 says, I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. And that's happening. Missionaries out there, thank you, Lord. They're seeking. But the faithless and the scoundrels in Israel, mainly Herod the Great, when he heard this, the Bible says he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, it's in Bethlehem of Judea. As you know, he got the chief priests and he says, as you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, yet from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And Herod summoned the wise men secretly. Well, Herod was one of the nastiest men on earth at that time. He was married 10 times. He probably thought, I don't know, I'm looking for my 11th, but I died. You know, what is it? You know, come on, Herod. He was paranoid all the time, so he executed his favorite wife because he thought she was having an affair, but she wasn't. He executed his brother-in-law. He executed 3 of his 14 children. When the Roman Emperor Augustus heard how he had killed his eldest son, Herod Antipas, in 4 BC, he made his famous comment. This is the Roman Emperor Augustus. It would be preferable to be Herod's pig than to be his son. And that is something you'll read about in history. Augustus said, man, I wouldn't want to be his son. I might want to be his pig, but not his son. That's how cruel he was. He would kill anybody, including his own family. And many other things he did. He saw this entourage coming in. He saw them coming in from Persia and all their Persian outfits and with all their trained guards that were with them. And this entourage came in not to pick a fight with him. They came in looking for the next king of Israel. They knew his Shekinah glory star was in the sky and it was leading them on. And Herod, who hated anybody that even remotely looked like they were going to take his position away from him, he was ready to do action, but he had to get him in there. He had to find out. Now, they came to Jerusalem, these kingmakers. And the reason why I use the word kingmaker, because these were the wise men. If you ever noticed that Nebuchadnezzar got in trouble and he said he didn't call for a Republican or Democratic committee. He called for, I can't sleep, I've had this dream. Get the wise men! Because they were his top official advisory council. Get them. And then Daniel would come in and say, well, I can help you with this. I know your dream. And he'd tell him, he said, you're the chief of the wise men. You're the best we've ever had here. You are the top of my political base. And now he finds Herod is watching these guys come in. He says, something's up. Because they're kingmakers. Nobody ever became a king in Persia at the time of Daniel and after, while the wise men were in power, without the wise men tapping that person. Without the wise men saying, you're the next one. You say, wow, that was power. They were kingmakers. And Herod knew that. These guys are politically power dogs. You don't mess with them, man. They make the political decisions. I don't know who's making the political decisions in the United States at this point, but you can read the newspaper. But these were kingmakers, and man, when Herod saw that, he thought, I'm the king. And when I'm not here, my king will be here. Not anybody else. They can't come here and make political decisions about who's the next king. But he also didn't want to fight them. He was in a pickle. Hi, Herod, how's that going for you? Not well. We got kingmakers at top levels of government just kind of come in. Well, they didn't take the wrong turn. Some have thought that, you know, they were acting like true men. That they came into town, they had the star of God shining on them. They came into town, but they wouldn't go and ask directions. This is the first time in Scripture where a man asked directions when he got lost. No, I'm just kidding. Used to be before the day of the little gadget that tells you where to turn, that men were powerful if they did not have to ask for directions. They just kind of gravitated and thought they were going to do it. But they went in and they got to Jerusalem. And what guided them to his place? The word of the living God. When in confusion, check your Bible. People will say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I said, well, and I understand that, but let's look and see what the directions say to our very lives, the Bible. And they went in there, and the chief priests and the scribes came and said, well, we don't know if this is true or whatever, but the Bible does say in Micah 5:2, that the next king will come here in little Bethlehem, a few miles, very few miles from where Jerusalem was, where these guys got there, and it wasn't Herod who gave them the directions, it was the Bible. That means the Bible's a pretty powerful tool. We read it this morning in here, and that's what, I was in my devotions this morning, not in this passage, in Jonah. I was having a ball. I was underlining, I'm thinking, yes, I could do that. And I've read that many times. I read the Bible through every year, cover to cover, have for many years. But I'm reading it as if I never read it. Get in your Bible, God will show. At this point, thank you. Herod, don't worry about it. These guys know where they are. And it's now, but the foolish king, it threatened him. Another thing happened to the leaders. Oh yeah, I think he's coming to Bethlehem, and you guys are kingmakers. You're coming. I think it's Bethlehem, probably is where he's going to be born. And oh, by the way, we're not interested in going with you to see where he is. Well, we got other things to do. We count money, or we're going to do something else. Excuse me, indifference to Jesus Christ. I get tired of indifference to him. I'm fighting some of that forces right now in the city of Albany. And I'm not calling the city that's doing it, but I have people that come to me and say, yeah, you evangelicals basically need to shut up. And I'm thinking, really? The Holy Word of God is what we preach and teach, and we're powerful in that. We must turn to Scripture. And these guys, they are not. One pastor named Pritchard, wonderful man of God, said, many are offended by Jesus, even the mention of his name. And if you don't think that's the case, you bring into a social scene where they're trying to make important decisions about what it could be, marriage or anything else, and you bring up the word Jesus, and they'll tell you, just keep that to yourself. We don't want to hear his opinion. I'm watching, I'm thinking, really? But that was back here. They're offended. He came to his own. His own received him not. But as to many who did receive him, he gave them authority to become sons of God, and that meant kingmakers from Persia. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. We're going to get here. You just got to give me a little bit of moment here. There we go. These guys, they worship him. They don't just seek him when they find him. They go to worship. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Verse 9 says, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were exceedingly glad with great joy. They had come for what they wanted, because they were going to do their part in putting their hand of approval that this is the king of the world. This is who we've been wanting to worship, not just kind of think, yeah, we'll admire him a little bit, gaga, goo-goo, he's there. No, he's the king. What? Isn't it amazing when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you start following him, you know that you've come home. You know that you have that which is right. You have the top. There's no other where to go or play games with. And if you go back, you'll come back and say, that was a stupid detour. I follow you, Lord Jesus. And so they have found him. So they were joyful. They were so excited about Jesus Christ. And they took their place at his feet. Now, some people say, well, how long is this happening between that and the night of the birth? When Mary gave, and I follow my Greek Orthodox, I come from a Greek Orthodox family. My mother, Sotira Nikolopoulos, followed the Greek calendar. And I think as I've looked at all this, and many of the scholars think, this is 12 days, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. This was 12 days after his birth. She's given him birth, and then they look for a little place where they can have a home to rent or to lease or whatever they had to do while they wait on the next orders from God with who would send them to Egypt. So they're waiting there, and they're in this little house, and the star's right over the house. You couldn't even script that baby. I'm thinking, Jesus, you're inside! They were excited. These were kingmakers. They had money. Money was not an issue for them. They were looking for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said, thank you. The Bible says, and going into the house in verse 11, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. In my Greek mother's language, proskuneo means just to. It means to be on your knees and on your face and worshiping. Not admiring him, but worshiping him. Giving him everything that you are. And on your face before Jesus is a good place to be at his feet. And Mary, I don't know what Mary and Joseph thought. This whole crowd outside their place that could, you know, defend half the nation of Israel at any point. And everything's happening real quick. And they come in and say, can we see can we see the next king of the universe? Can we see the next one? Who is, because we are kingmakers. We say in our land, when a man is a king, and if we say he's not, he's not. But this one is the king of the world. Wow, you couldn't script this. Herod would have paid any price to have these kingmakers at his feet. He would have given half, as they did weird things, you're going to have half of my kingdom, his son Antipas, who killed John the Baptist. I'll give you half of my kingdom, you little tart. You just did this nice dance. Really? These guys did what Herod would have wanted them to do to him, and that's bow before him. Zippo nada. I bow before no one. I love when John MacArthur, when they made this whole thing in the nation where they said, you know, marriage was not between a man and a woman anymore, and I'm not speaking politically here. He came up with a sermon, and I read it, and I thought this is good. And he said, whatever the U.S. does or doesn't do, we will not bow. These guys would not bow in front of Herod, though they asked him where this was. And he found out that the scriptures would direct them to Bethlehem. And then the star directed them to the very house. Oh. They honored him, though. The Bible says that they honored him. They opened their treasures, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very, very, very much the top stuff. They would make it so he could do whatever they needed to do. If they needed to go to escape Herod's swords, they could take him, and they had the money. Gold represents royalty. frankincense, the message of the temple to God Almighty in the form of incense, and then the gift of humanity, or myrrh, which would represent the very embalming fluid that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus would use when Jesus died. They would wrap him with spices, and they would wrap him, and it would be myrrh that would be that spice that would hide the effects of death and decay, and they would have this wonderful Son of God, who is now King. They would let him be. I don't know what time it is. I might have gotten over this. Well, we'll get ready to go here. Okay. The last thing I said, there's a third point. They wouldn't just seek him, and they wouldn't just worship him. And this is pure worship. God alone gets this kind of worship they were doing. And then the third thing is they would serve him. Let me get my last page here before we get in trouble, Perry Jones. Okay. In verse 12, our last verse, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The dream came to one of these kingmakers, Daniel's friend from yesteryears, that Herod's a bad little boy. If he kills half his family, he killed this baby boy in 5 seconds. He is one that threatens him. So you guys, you're big boys, you go home another route and just go home quietly and secretly. They did it. They served the purpose that Jesus would not be killed by Herod. And he went, as you know, and killed hundreds of baby boys at that age down in Bethlehem when he found out he had been snubbed. Mr. Snub got snubbed by the kingmakers of the earth. And someday, the kingmakers of the whole earth and Jesus are all coming back, and they're gonna be at his feet, just like they were then. And hopefully you and I will be in that number. When the saints go marching in, we have a Savior. So today we have the opportunity, as I close, to say, Jesus, you're my King. Because it's not enough that you just seek him, worship him, serve him, but he becomes your all in all. He becomes the leader. That you say, Jesus, you may not be here yet. Daniel 7 says he'll be King of the earth. He'll come to the Ancient of Days and get that role. But someday you'll be King. But right now, guess, Lord, my heart is 100% open to you. I am your subject. You are my King. I will serve you. What you says go, what you said don't do, I will not do. I will serve you, my King. And my heart is open. And hopefully as we close in prayer, that's what you're going to say to him. Maybe you know him as Lord and Savior. You're going to say, Jesus, you're my King. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. I obey you. And someday when you come back, the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You waiting for Jesus to be King? There isn't any bigger. That's why Matthew said, you got to hear about this. I got to tell you about those wise men, what they did. Father, we thank you. There's one in this room that says, I need Jesus as my King, my Savior. He died for my sins. He suffered for me. He's the only reason I can be in heaven and holy before him when he comes back as King. And Lord, right now, I offer you the meagerness of my own heart. I serve you. Forgive me when I sin against you. Forgive me when I don't do what you ask, and when I fail to do what I know I could do for you. Jesus, help this congregation to continually be stronger, and that they will represent the King of Kings. Though they're not king makers, they are sharing him with as many as they can. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Come quickly. We await thee on bended knee. In Christ's name, amen.